Blog Talk Radio.
I go my way alone, free and easy like a rolling stone. I am strictly on my own, not the marrying kind. I am happy being free. No girl's gonna put a ring on me. That's how it's gotta be. I'm not the marrying kind. I've been known to run a mile when they try to lead me down the aisle. So if you want me to stay a while, don't start changing my style. It's always been my plan to stay single any way I can. I'm just a happy man. I'm not the marrying kind. I'm not the marrying kind. It's always been my plan to stay single any way I can. I'm just a happy man. I'm not the marrying kind. Not the marrying kind. I'm not the marrying kind.
Okay, Dino, let your hair down, man. James Bostic, a conservative perspective here. Where are we? On the Patriot Nation. On the Patriot Nation Radio Network. We do it live here and there sometimes. I've been kind of really hit and miss over the summer, but I'm okay with that. Usually, if I'm going to be on air, it's going to be Tuesdays, 7 p.m. Got a two-hour gig that we do there, or Thursdays, 7 p.m., 1 hour, and then at 8 o'clock, of course, the handsome one himself, El Guapo, Mark Hoffman, takes over the Patriot Nation Radio Live. We also have a recorded version of the program. Goes out Sundays on the Mojo 50 Radio Network, mojo50.com. Well, I'm a little pissed off, guys. I'll be perfectly honest with you. At Rock the Red in May, I met a guy, a citizen journalist named Shawn Bradley Witzman, and he was there that day, January 6th, when citizens peaceably assembled at their nation's capital to seek redress for the grievances they had. There were agents provocateur in those people. There's no doubt about it. We talked about the Reichstag fire and whether or not that whole thing was a put-up job. And if it wasn't, then the Nazis certainly did a first-class gold medal job of capitalizing on it and cementing their power in Germany back in the 1930s. Okay. My belief is, and there are people that are reluctant to say it, I'm not going to be one of them. There were people there that were not on our side, guys. They might have been wearing MAGA hats, but they weren't MAGA people, and they were there to screw things up and make us look bad. And they had a lot of help from Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Jalala Lalapal, and the tent maker, Omar, and Presley. She's the boss. She's a bald-headed one, right? Okay, all those guys, you know, all the Democrats, and Schiff, and all this crap. And these guys are being kept in deplorable conditions for over a year. No due process, no right to a speedy trial, nothing. Locked up in a D.C. jail. And I'm going to tell you something, D.C. jail, according to G. Gordon Liddy, who ought to know because he was there for a while, it's one of the worst places on earth. These people's lives have been ruined. And it's a pretty safe bet some of them are going to be sentenced to jail unjustly. And here's why Uncle Jimmy's pissed. That smarmy, insouciant, self-insistent son of a bitch. Sorry, I don't think you can say insouciant on the radio. Stephen Colbert, okay, has, you know, the Democrats who have long been seduced by televised hearings ever since Watergate, and I don't think it's a coincidence that they opened these hearings up on the 50th anniversary of the Watergate hearings. I don't think because they just can't get enough of that stuff. They think that's huge, and they think it's going to save them. Incidentally, the hearings have been called off again, this time for a number of weeks, and they're probably not going to resurrect them. They had the first hearing, and I think Mr. Ed on Nick at Night got more viewers than the January 6th people, than the Schiff show, than Adam Schiff. They had the second night of hearings was canceled because they said that there was so much video information that their IT crews just, they were overwhelmed with all this stuff and they were drowning it and they had to give them back. Guys, their IT stuff was put up by a man named James Goldston. Now, James Goldston, in this case, is the Joseph Goebbels of this hearing, but he was a former news executive for CBS, the Clinton Broadcasting System, the Communist Broadcasting System. Their pitiful IT guys were overworked. My ass. Nobody was paying any attention to them, and they didn't know how to solve the embarrassment or to save this. So they canceled the second hearing. Then they had the third hearing, and then they had another one, I think, yesterday. And they've made the decision that the hearings ostensibly are going to be canceled. They're going to be postponed for a few weeks because of this inundation of new evidence that Donald Trump was behind everything. Okay? Everything. Not just January 6th. Okay? Not just January 6th. 9/11. The Kennedy assassinations. Every major mob hit in New York. The Lindbergh kidnapping. The Hindenburg explosion. The blowing up of the Maine in Havana Harbor. Okay, he's responsible for all of it. And we're just getting all this evidence coming in, and we're gonna come out with this. And I think it's, you know, not with a bang, with a whimper. So Colbert, ass, sends some of his stooges over last week to the Capitol where the hearings are going on. You know, they're in the building there. And they don't have the proper press credentials. So they're escorted away from the property. Later on, with the help of a couple of congressional aides, they're allowed back in the building that they're not supposed to be in. They don't have the proper passes. It's after hours. It's like 7 in the evening. And they're going in there and they're knocking on doors and banging on office windows and shouting and yelling and acting like idiots. And then somebody calls the D.C. cops. D.C. cops say, hey, you got to go. And they go. But it's a joke. It's all funny. It's all hilarious. It's all, you know, edgy, daring, sarcastic, spoofy humor. It's trespassing. It's the same kind of trespassing. It is the same kind of violation of federal law that those poor sons are locked up in the D.C. jail over. And have been for over a year and a half. And the more I thought about it, and I never liked the guy anyway. I, like I said, he's smarmy. I know you can't say insouciant on the radio, but I'm going to go ahead and do it since I already have. He's insouciant. He's self-insistent. He's a snarky little bastard. I don't like him. I've never liked him. And I'm not necessarily a guy. And I'll be honest with you people. And anybody that knows me knows this. I'm not necessarily a man that is moved easy to physical violence. I'm really not. I'm a totally live and let live kind of guy. You mind your business. I promise I'm going to mind mine. But that guy I could take a poke at. No joke, man. I'm serious. He's over there with his know-it-all bullshit smile. Pow! Hey, mister. Hey, Steven. How about a nice Hawaiian punch? Sure. Bam! To the moon, Stevie. Schumer's another one I'd like to just shirt collar and shake till I got carpal tunnel in my wrist. Same thing with Adam Schiff. Pop those big bug eyes closed. I mean, and I don't think I'm the only guy that feels this. And I mean, I'm not going to. I'm going to act with restraint because I'm a civilized, superior type human being. And as much as I would like to do that. And, you know, if I ever had the opportunity, I don't know. I would try. I wouldn't want to let you guys down, but I might give in. I'm so sick of it. I am so sick of this two-tiered justice system in this country where these elite snobs, these better-than-thous, these do-as-I-say, not-as-I-do type, these Cadillac communists can break laws, federal laws, with impunity and nothing happens. Not a damn thing happens. Now, come on, don't tell me this doesn't bother you. Don't tell me that there's not somewhere deep in everybody's core being the meter that runs their sense of fair and foul play looks at this stuff and goes, hey, I got to call it. This is bullshit. Don't you? I haven't played this in a long time, but I'm going to play it this evening. It's from a movie. A story by Paddy Chayefsky, who is a great writer. And the movie was called Network. And it was about 50 years ago. And it was a brilliant cast. It was Peter Finch. It was Faye Dunaway. It was William Holden. A lot of talented people. It was a very compelling story. And it was about this guy. His name was Howard Beale. And Howard had been a longtime faithful network anchor man at this network. And he was on his way out. It was his last week. And he just didn't fit with what they were wanting to do. They were wanting to go with something new, something fresh, something that was going to draw in viewers, whether or not it was news was another thing. And the programming director, was played by William Holden, talks with him. His name's Peter Finch. That was the guy that played Howard Beale. And he comes in to his first show of this final week that he's going to be the anchorman, and it goes like this. And now remember, this is 1975, almost 50 years ago. Listen to what he says and see how much of it is true for today.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You got that? What did he mention? What did he mention? He talked about the Russians. Hello. Crime in the streets. Hi. Inflation. Hey, hey, hey. Depression. Well, recession. It may as well be. It's a minor depression. Well, I don't know why. It's just semantics more than anything else. Mad as hell. And we need to be mad as hell over this thing with COVID. Nothing's going to happen to those guys. They were arrested. They were mugged. They were processed. And they were out. That was it. Boom. Couple of hours. Inconvenience. And they're all laughing up their sleeves and patting themselves on the back, imagining themselves to be clever. Triumph, the comic insult dog. That act has been around since the Clinton administration. Tucker Carlson talks about it. We'll get into that in a little bit. But you know, it's old. It's stale. And all it does is prove, yet again, the hypocrisy that exists in our justice system for the elites as well as for us. Mike Cutler says it all the time. It's a big club, kids, and we ain't in it. Not dead air, man. I'm just chewing it over. I'm still here. I wasn't going to do this in the first half of the show, but I guess when I started reading the teaser, that's where we're going to go now. So we're just going to reverse things. We're going to talk about this dillweed, Stephen Colbert. Tucker Carlson went after him for two nights in a row. And, I mean, he absolutely eviscerated the guy. The first night was pretty tough. Last night, even worse. But there's nothing here that Tucker Carlson's saying that isn't true. And he has done nothing to the raging hypocrisy that goes on the left. Okay, what did I call that thing? Who are we talking about? We're talking about, Tucker Colbert. Colbert. Little Stevie Colbert. I think I loaded it up. By God, if I didn't load it up, man, it's going to blow. I swear. I thought I did. You know what? It isn't the first time I've done this, but I'm going to look real close just to make sure. I never did like the guy. He had something. I mean, he started out on Comedy Central, and he was skewering it back during the Bush years. You know, it was a spinoff from Jon Stewart and Comedy Central News or whatever it was there. And he wound up with his Late Show gig. He's no longer, if you watch this stuff, and I don't know if you do or not, but if you watch this stuff, there's no comedy to it. When I think of late night shows, Johnny Carson, Leno, Letterman, and now today we got what we got, Kimmel. Is O'Brien, is Conan O'Brien still on? He was pretty funny. We've got Kimmel, we've got this clown. And nobody is funny anymore. They've got these audiences that are keyed in to just, you know, it's an echo chamber. And whatever crazy thing that the left is cheering about or upset about, depending on how you look at this thing, it's there, and they're going to boo at the right places. They're going to hiss at the right places. They're going to cheer where they're supposed to. But it's not going to be funny. It's not going to be the amazing Karnak. It's not going to be stupid pet tricks. And it's just not going to work, I don't think. I really, really don't. Not for long. There are things happening, and we've talked about it a lot, and I've taken heart over a lot of different things. But what's going on is fundamentally more and more people are saying, hey, enough of this. And And that's what it's going to take. Oh, there it is. Daggone, I did have it. Okay, never mind. Let me make sure the volume's still on this. This was, I think this was last night. This was last night. It was the second one of the two-part dissection of this idiot. And here's Tucker Carlson talking about little Stevie Colbert.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. So last week on Thursday, talk show host Stephen Colbert dispatched a group of seven of his employees to Washington, D.C. Their job, break into the U.S. Capitol complex and harass lawmakers inside. So the group dutifully arrived in the afternoon and were met almost immediately by uniformed Capitol Hill police officers who threw them out. But apparently on orders from Colbert, they returned. At about 4 p.m. on Thursday, the group re-entered the building. Accounts vary as to what exactly happened next, but it seems clear that Colbert's employees were led inside by an ally within the building. That would be a freshman member of Congress from Massachusetts called Jake Auchincloss. Once on federal property, Colbert's employees did what they came to do, which was disrupt the business of Congress. And apparently they were not subtle about doing it. They pounded on doors and yelled. Whatever they did, it got people's attention. It takes an awful lot for a police force controlled by Nancy Pelosi to arrest a group of left-wing entertainment figures. But that's exactly what happened next. Capitol Hill police arrested seven Colbert employees and brought them to jail. All seven of them were charged with unlawful entry. Now, that's the identical charge that hundreds of January 6th defendants have been prosecuted for. But unlike January 6th defendants, Colbert's employees were not sent to the D.C. jail for a year and a half in solitary confinement. No, they were released after only a night behind bars, and then they fled back to New York. Why is that? What exactly is the difference in the crime? As a legal question, we still don't know the answer. For some reason, Capitol Hill police have not released the surveillance tapes that would show exactly what Colbert's employees did that so triggered the police force controlled by Nancy Pelosi that they were arrested. But whatever they did, otherwise sympathetic members of Congress are running away from it as quickly as they can. Quote, "We do not condone any inappropriate activity within the Capitol," Jake Auchincloss's office told us today. Though as a factual matter, that is not true. In fact, Jake Auchincloss has a recent history of condoning criminal behavior in the Capitol. Just this March, surveillance cameras in the complex caught Jake Auchincloss's chief of staff, that would be a former Adam Schiff staffer called Tim Heissem, vandalizing the front door of Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene's personal office. Heissem did this not once, but several times, violently, like a man obsessed. Capitol Hill police quickly filed an arrest warrant against him because Tim Heissem clearly posed a threat to a member of Congress. But Jake Auchincloss did not fire him. Instead, Jake Auchincloss defended Heissem's vandalism as noble and justified. "Our office is not going to apologize," read a long and self-righteous statement from Jake Auchincloss. In other words, "We don't like Marjorie Taylor Greene's politics, therefore we can do whatever we want to her, and we will." For the most part, the media ignored this story, so Jake Auchincloss and Adam Schiff felt emboldened to go further. They invited Colbert's employees to the Capitol to harass Marjorie Taylor Greene some more, which is what they were trying to do when they were arrested by Capitol Hill police. Now, whatever you think of her politics, Marjorie Taylor Greene is a sitting member of Congress. Preventing her or any other member of Congress from carrying out official duties as a public representative is, by definition, an attack on democracy. So how is what Stephen Colbert did different from what the protesters on January 6th have been convicted of doing? That's a very good question. And it's a question that Colbert himself spent the weekend thinking about. His conclusion? Well, unlike Trump voters, Stephen Colbert is a very good person. Therefore, any comparison to Trump voters is not simply ridiculous. It is a moral crime. Watch.
Now, it's predictable why these TV talkers are talking like this on the TV. They want to talk about something other than the January 6th hearings on the actual seditionist insurrection that led to the deaths of multiple people and the injury of over 140 police officers. But drawing any equivalence between rioters storming our Capitol to prevent the counting of electoral ballots and a cigar-chomping toy dog is a shameful and grotesque insult to the memory of everyone who died. And it obscenely trivializes the service and the courage the Capitol Police showed on that terrible day.
Yeah, it was a toy dog.
It's shameful. In other words, when you criticize me,
You're really criticizing the brave Capitol Hill police officers who arrested the people who worked for me, the ones who committed the crimes I asked them to commit. And I, for one, will not stand for that. That's what he just said. Now, what you have there is not so much an explanation. In fact, it doesn't explain anything. Instead, it's a master's class on whiny, rich, liberal self-righteousness. It's a distillation of a worldview that is so concise and so perfect, it is certain to be studied by cultural historians of the future seeking to understand how our civilization collapsed. Not only am I not sorry, you're the criminal for bringing it up. Stop hitting me, he screams as he punches you in the face. That is passive aggression taken to the level of art. And anyway, Colbert says, shut up. I'm a comedian with a toy dog. You can't criticize me. So the question really is Stephen Colbert a comedian? Well, if you're one of the relatively few people who still watches Stephen Colbert's show on CBS, you'll have to admit it is hard to tell. Most nights, Stephen Colbert sounds like the notably unfunny Karine Jean-Pierre. He sounds like a Biden flack, delivering whatever talking points the White House tells him to repeat. And if you doubt that, here's what it looks like.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden did it. The biggest story continues to be the one you were thinking about when you weren't sleeping last night. And it's the one happening all over America, the protests in wake of the murder of George Floyd. And please don't buy the false narrative that these are lawless mobs. The vast majority of these protests have been peaceful. There's a simple, if extremely difficult, solution. Reduce the number of guns. We've done it before, and it worked. Russia's invasion of Ukraine is a humanitarian crisis, but also it is a triumph of humanity. Take that, Putin.
Okay, so I might have the most privilege of any white person you've ever met.
How do I identify
that in my own life? Because if I have white privilege, I want to be able to identify it. Give me some hints as to my white privilege.
The vax, peasants, surrender your guns. Support Ukraine. And remember, it's called Kyiv now. This isn't comedy. It's a very sad midlife crisis. But more than that, it's information war being waged against television viewers on behalf of the Democratic Party. At least when the White House press secretary does it, she admits what she's doing. Colbert hides behind his former job as a comedian. It was all a joke. When people, I don't like, break into the Capitol, it's insurrection. When we do it, it's sketch comedy. Right. It's getting hard to maintain that lie, and here's how you know. Comedians have a sense of humor. It is, in fact, a job requirement, but Stephen Colbert does not. Stephen Colbert has lost his sense of humor, along with the critical distance and perspective that make humor possible. At this point, he's just a partisan scold. And you know that for certain, because even as he watched the QAnon shaman parade around the Capitol on January 6th, Stephen Colbert did not laugh. Now, an actual comedian, whatever his politics, would have found that spectacle hilarious because, let's be honest, it was.
Hey, man. Glad to see you guys. You guys are patriots. Look at this guy. He's got covered in blood. God bless you. You good, sir? Do you need medical attention?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right.
I got shot in the face with some kind of plastic bullet.
Any chance I could get you guys to leave the Senate wing?
We will. I've been making sure I ain't disrespecting the place.
Okay, just want to let you guys know, this is like the sacredest place.
Hey! This is the guy in the bearskin and the horn hat. That's not hilarious? Yes, it is hilarious. No, he's a seditious insurrectionist, said Colbert. He needs to go to jail. He's a terrorist. And when he was sent to jail, Colbert applauded. Now, that's how Maoist cadres act. That's not how comedians act. So Stephen Colbert may be a late-night host still for some reason, but he has zero sense of humor. He ought to step aside and let some young person who still gets the joke to have the job, but he won't. Here's Colbert on November 6, 2020. Watch.
And if you did not know that Joe Biden was getting close to 270, Donald Trump just provided all the proof you will ever need. True story. I'm wearing black tonight because I was getting dressed this afternoon, and I thought he might try some shenanigans, and it might be fitting to tell jokes while wearing something somber if he goes down that dark path. So we all knew he would do this. What I didn't know is that it would hurt so much. Those are real tears. The only real thing about that show. We're not trying to belabor the point. But the guy's not a comedian. You watch a comedian, you think, that guy's hilarious. I'd love to meet him. Imagine eating a meal with Stephen Colbert. Chances are you somehow offend him over the course of a typical dinner by saying something he finds offensive. What are the chances of that? 100%. Stephen Colbert is a Karen. He's a brittle, middle-aged woman who's always lecturing you about something. In fact, he's Elizabeth Warren. They even look alike. Have you seen them in the same room recently? No. Sad. He was talented at one point. So was Robert Smigel. That's one of the Colbert employees who was also arrested last week. Smigel's been doing his dog puppet routine for 30 years. That's the one that Colbert is now hiding behind. It was just a dog puppet. The dog puppet was kind of funny during the Clinton administration. It is pure hackery now. Smigel keeps going because he's got a political message for you. I'm going to beat you over the head with my political message. Ah! No one laughs at Robert Smigel anymore. It's pathetic. Who's funnier, Robert Smigel or the guy who took pictures of himself at Nancy Pelosi's desk on January 6th? Be honest. It's not even close. The guy at Pelosi's desk is hilarious compared to the guy with the talking dog. And none of them is half as funny, again, sorry, it's true, as Donald Trump. And how do you know that? Show us the late night host who said anything half as amusing as Trump's Taco Bowl tweet. Ever? Any of them? No, never. These people are so afraid, they're so terrified, holding on to their stupid jobs late into middle age, that how do they respond to Cinco de Mayo? Fawning over the indigenous cuisine of the Latinx community. Nobody likes that. And that's why, in the end, Stephen Colbert has not a single Hispanic viewer. His audience is entirely self-hating white liberals like him. So nobody watches anymore. And that's fine. That's CBS's problem. But don't tell us you're a comedian and therefore exempt from the normal rules of behavior and the normal federal laws about trespassing, because you're not.
Now here's a story about Minnie the Moocher. She was a red-hot hoochie-coocher. She was the roughest, toughest rail. But Minnie had a heart as big as a hay whale. Howdy, howdy, ho.
Howdy, howdy, ho.
Howdy, howdy.
Make those calcos shine. Put on your drapes, ese vato. Make those calcos shine. The holding court on the corner, marijuana boogie time.
Call her
marijuana.
me, because he missed the scenery, the native dances and the charming song. But wait a minute, something's wrong, 'cause now it's
Mambo, Mambo Italiano, hey Mambo. Mambo Italiano, go, go, go. You mixed up a Siciliano. All you Calabrese do the mambo like a crazy with a hey mambo. You don't wanna tarantala, hey, hey mambo. No more mozzarella, hey mambo. Mambo Italiano, try an angelada with the fish, baccalà, and then hey goomba. I love how you dance the rumba. But take some advice, paisano. Learn how to mambo. If you're gonna be a square, you ain't gonna go nowhere. Hey mambo, mambo Italiano, hey mambo. Mambo Italiano, go, go, Joe. Shake it like a Giovanna. Hello, kiss it, did you? Get happy in the pizza when you mambo Italiano. You don't have to go to the school. Choose to make it with a pizza bambino. It's like a bean. Kid, you good looking, but you don't know what you're cooking, do you? Hey, mambo, mambo Italiano. Hey, hey, mambo, mambo Italiano. Ho, ho, ho. You mixed up a Siciliano. Hello, kissa, did you? You get happy in the pizza when you mambo Italiano.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Hey, James Bossett, Conservatives Perspective. I had to play that again, man. That affects me. I mean, I was a kid. I was like 76. I was probably 14, 15 years old. When I saw that movie, and it was a really powerful movie, and I remember that scene. And what happened is all across America, people, you know, they're watching this guy on TV. They see him flip out. He speaks from the heart. He pulls the trigger on, and all across America, people did what? They got up out of their chairs, and they went to the window, and they opened it up, and they stuck their heads out, and they yelled. They were as mad as hell, and they weren't going to take it anymore. And that's where we're at. That's where we're at. That's the first step. We got to get mad. Do cats like paying $5.50, $6, $7 a gallon for gas? President of the United States accuses the oil companies of price gouging. He shuts down the XL pipeline. He puts a stranglehold, a bureaucratic stranglehold on exploration and drilling. And then he tells these guys they need to do more. You happy what you're, are you happy paying what you're paying for groceries? Are you happy with any of the crap that's gone on since this crazy ass took the oath of office? For 4 years under President Trump, America enjoyed peace. We enjoyed security and unparalleled prosperity. Donald Trump's presidency was an historic era of good times in which we began to regain faith in the American dream. And now we have the nightmare and the death and destruction that go with us. Trump era was prosperous. Yes, it absolutely was. Historically low unemployment rates, low inflation, energy independence, rising wages. But aside from that, the most important thing about Trump's presidency was the fact that Americans were secure as they had not been under Obama and certainly are not under Joe Biden. Under Donald Trump, America was in so many senses vibrant and alive with pride in our country and hope for its future. Now we have regular mass shootings in which citizens disarmed by the have no way to defend themselves. Overseas, we have a war in Ukraine, the threat of a Chinese invasion of Taiwan, and Iran developing nuclear weapons with the encouragement, you heard me right, of the Biden administration. The common thread, death and the fear that goes with it. And this doesn't even include Biden's aggressive defense of abortion on demand. Under President Trump, you and I lived without fear. We knew that Trump supported our right to defend our homes, and he supported the police who defended us as well. Just having the president and his administration on our side made us breathe a little easier. America was moving in the right direction, and that was confirmed by every opinion poll during Trump's time in office before COVID was unleashed. Long-term death rates are more a matter of demographics than policy, and they have been rising ever since Obama took office in 2008. But murder rates, deaths in war and civil unrest, drug overdose deaths, accidental deaths are attributable to policy. And they've been rising under Biden, even during his short time in office. Under Biden, the United States murder rate, which had been declining under President Trump, is the highest it's been in a quarter century. According to former New York Police Commissioner Howard Stafford, the spike in violence is partly attributable to a lack of support for police and soft-on-crime prosecutors. And it's Biden, with his anti-police rhetoric and his refusal to prosecute, as in the case of those picketing Justice Kavanaugh's home, who's responsible for that climate of anarchy. Nowadays, you probably plan your trips carefully. You probably avoid eye contact with strangers and maybe carry just your driver's license and a credit card. Maybe you drive a little on the inconspicuous side as well, given the explosion of road rage. And the most galling thing is that Biden never says a word about the victims of crime unless he can twist the incident into an anti-gun lecture, and he takes no action to protect anyone, especially law-abiding citizens in middle-class neighborhoods like ours. In this and so many other ways, he seems on the side of those who wish to destroy us. It isn't an accident that murder rates are spiraling at home and wars breaking out overseas. Both are a response to Biden's weakness, and death is the consequence. I'm afraid there's going to be more death ahead. Expect an invasion in Taiwan, Moldova, or Finland, and new outbreaks of violence in the Middle East involving either Iran or its surrogates. The incomprehensible Iran deal, which Biden is pushing, would make Biden the biggest funder of terrorism in the world. Terrorism is more than just a derogatory word. It's the act of murdering innocent human beings, women, and children. That's what Iran does. That's what they're in the business of doing. And Joe Biden, my Democrat friends who voted for him, you're responsible for this. Biden's weakness has emboldened our enemies, and their actions pose a threat to our security. This is the way major wars begin. They can be prevented only by the projection of force of the kind we saw under President Trump. And Biden projects about as much force as a lady's fan. His weakness will get us into another war. Our young men and women will die in that war. There's death hanging over us, and Biden seems to be oblivious, fumbling with his note cards to find some kind of answer. There's a new national mood in this country, unlike anything I've seen since the 1960s. A sense of foreboding and caution based on the very real threat of violence and collapse. There are more threats to our country, including the wealth destruction of inflation, to which Biden simply rolls his eyes, chuckles, and whispers some idiotic riposte. There are more criminal gangs, and Biden just welcomes them in. There is more road rage, more random shootings, more felons out on bond or no bond or low bond, and there is a callous and brutal disregard for the lives of the unborn. And in response to the mounting violence, Biden seems remote, fuddling with his microphone like a man slipping into dementia, and those around him seem inept, if not callous, including the new press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, who is said to have stumbled frequently during her first weeks. And if you've seen her, yeah. A president who is weak and advisors who are incompetent and anti-American to boot, that's a recipe for disaster. And disaster will end, as it always does, in poverty, destruction, and death. There are bullies in this world who watched as Biden stumbled out of Afghanistan, and bullies don't have much respect for doddering old fools who just want to survive a four-year term and leave a mess for someone else to clean up. As a citizen, it is difficult to see our country besieged by violence. Biden's presidency has been deadly in every respect, turning off economic growth and imposing environmental restrictions, proposing inflation-adjusted cuts in national defense while paying off student loans and putting citizens at risk with his anti-police rhetoric. I had little chance of a Biden second term. But just another 2.5 years of this is painful to imagine. How many thousands are going to lose their lives because of one incompetent and wrong-headed leader? How far will America go into danger and destruction? How much more difficult will it be for our next president, Trump or Trump lookalike, to repair the damage and make America safe again? Tip of the hat to Jeffrey Folks for that, doing all the heavy intellectual lifting from American Thinker. Every single thing we talked about in there has rung true, and it rings true every day. But every single fool on MSNBC, on ABC, CBS, MSNBC, they're going to look at you and they're going to tell you that everything is fine. And the reason the poll numbers for Joe Biden are so low is because we don't understand just how great a job he's doing. Nobody wants to think of it as a two-tiered justice system, but what else is it? Take a look at Hillary Clinton. Bill and Hillary Clinton. Those guys have been corrupt and crooked since his time in Arkansas 40 years ago. They've raked in literally billions. Not honestly. Pay for play. Selling influence. Taking bribes. Fixing things in exchange for money or the consolidation of more power. Mitch McConnell. Joe Biden. If there's anybody that made more money off the Chinese than Joe Biden, it's probably Mitch McConnell. His father-in-law is the head of a shipbuilding company that is the principal manufacturer of seagoing vessels for the People's Republic of China. They may be the exclusive manufacturer. When Mitch married this chick, they're not exactly sure, but there was a wedding gift from his father-in-law of somewhere between $10 to $20 million. Just for taking that old spinster off his hands. You think Mitch McConnell could say something? Do you think Mitch McConnell could break up the play of some legislation that was going to be economically favorable to communist China? Yeah, he could. He could if he wasn't into his wife, you know, if he wasn't into his father-in-law for 20 mil, 20 communist mil. He might be able to do something about it, but as it is, I'm not optimistic. Dianne Feinstein had a communist Chinese intelligence operative as her chauffeur. And then later, I think he did some clerical stuff for her once he got promoted up through the ranks. 20 years. 20 years. He had the same access to stuff that Dianne Feinstein had access to. You think he didn't pass that along to Beijing? Well, of course he did. And the truth of the matter is this, for most of these people, it is highly unlikely. At least here, in this earthly perspective, that justice is going to be carried out for these people. Bill and Hillary Clinton will never see the inside of a jail cell. Neither will Mitch McConnell. Neither will Nancy Pelosi. Neither will Dianne Feinstein. Neither will Chuck Schumer. Neither will Adam Schiff. None of these guys will. Beyond a conviction in the court of public opinion, that's it. That's it. That's all I got. It is not right. It is not fair. It is not just. And the question remains, how do we make it right? How do we make it just? How do we make it fair? How do we return? How do we rebalance? How do we recalibrate and rebalance the scales of justice so that they're not always tipped in the favor of the damn left? Well, let's listen to it one more time.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel belt and radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You going to do it? Because that's how it's got to happen, man. We got to get pissed off. I mean, we have really got to get mad. And that anger will translate into action. And just like he said, nobody needs to riot. Nobody needs to bust out windows. Nobody needs to shoot anybody or suck them in the jaw. There are ways we can do this. There are more of us, so many more of us than there are of them. But it's never going to happen, ever, if it even has a chance of happening. The first thing that's going to happen is you're going to have to get mad. You have to get mad as hell, and we cannot take it anymore. That was 1976, people, almost 50 years ago, and not a thing has changed. Everything he talked about in that little soliloquy there. What's changed? Look around you today. That's about all the time we got, guys. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to the handsome one, El Guapo. Yes, oh, no. Okay, we got, 2352 area code numbers here. And I don't know which one is El Guapo. You would think I would know because we've only been working together for like, I don't know, 10 years. But I would just look at the area code. I don't know whether it was him. Ah, he's on. I don't have to worry about it now. It was going to be a case of the lady or the tiger. And here he is. Hey, Mark, what's happening?
What's up, James? How's it going?
I don't know nothing, man. I just work here. You know how it is.
Yep.
Yeah. How's everything? I know you got a hot one going on tonight. I was just venting tonight. I just vented my spleen good and solid tonight. It was political for the most part, but and it felt good too. I feel good. I feel better now. I might sleep tonight. I know you got a tough one coming up.
I feel good.
I do. I feel a lot better. I was kind of ticked off here over a few things, but anyway, it's good to have you here with us. I know that you got a great guest coming up tonight. Anthony Aarons is going to be with you there, and he's District 4 Commissioner. There is that your district?
No. But
okay.
I'm having all different candidates on, telling the voters why they should vote for him, you know, from District 4. I'm going to have congressmen. I'm going to have you know, school board members. So, and then once I get my local candidates, If I have enough time, then I'm going to reach out to a couple of the other candidates that are around in the local area that I like.
Well, you know what,
over the next couple weeks, primaries are in August, so.
And what you're doing is key. And I mean, you already know this, but I'm just going to go ahead and explain it to some of those that might come in late. If you really want to affect a change in Washington, really truly affect a change in Washington, look around your neighborhoods. Look around your school board members. Look at your county commissioners, your city councilmen.
Yep.
Okay, that's where you're going to change it. And you hold those guys' feet to the fire. If they don't work, you move them out, and you find people that are going to, and you work your way up the ladder. That's how you do this. And I'm going to let you go ahead and get on it, Mark. It's 8 o'clock. You have a terrific show. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all for me tonight. Here he is, the one and only, the handsome El Guapo. Have a great show, Mark.
What's happening, folks? It's Patriot Nation Radio Show. We're going to kick it off here in 2 minutes. Get ready, kick back, and enjoy. Here we go. Okay.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942. Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Yes, indeed, folks. Excuse moi. Yes, DaveBrayUSA.com. You can head on over there to get all your patriotic gear, patriotic music, tour dates, and more from Dave Bray. Dave Bray, you know, he loves our show. And he comes on anytime we ask. So because he comes on anytime we ask, we promote his stuff forever. He's a great patriot, very welcoming, very friendly, open, transparent, like Scotch tape. I don't know. He said something about Scotch tape when I was a kid in a commercial about it being the transparent tape. I don't know. So anyway, we got a great show for you tonight, folks. You may have heard the Liberty Rush commercial there. That's a good friend of mine. We've been chit-chatting for many years. And we may have the possibility of him calling in. He is the owner, creator, whole nine yards, LibertyRush.com. As you heard in the commercial, no libtarded rhetoric. So we like that. You know, we don't like their rhetoric. You know, so that's he may be calling in later on in the show. And in the second half of the show, ladies and gentlemen, a very important issue in our country right now is the Second Amendment. We have from Gun Owners of America, Florida, Luis Valdez, going to join us in the second half of the show. But right now we want to bring in our featured guest tonight. Running locally, he is now officially on the ballot. So when we go to our polling station, his name will be there, and we will have a little marker, and we can put our mark next to his name if he is our choice. And in our district. And tonight we are going to give him the opportunity to solicit your vote, I guess we would say. We'll, you know, find out a little bit about him, you know, and ask the right questions, hopefully for you, so that you can make an informed decision on this candidate. And his name is Anthony Arenz, I believe he pronounces it. I'm going to bring him on right now, and he can clarify that for sure. Oh, I hit the wrong button. Hold on. That's the wrong one. Oh, shit, I hit the wrong button again. Here, we'll hit this button.
Hello, hello.
There you go, folks. There's Anthony on the line. What's happening, boss? Welcome to the show. It's the Patriot Nation Radio Show, and I'm your host, Mark Hoffman.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it wholeheartedly. Thank you.
No problem. So, I am clueless about you, Anthony. I have no idea what your platform is, where you're from, what you stand for. I do think, I believe you're in a band. I saw that somewhere.
I used to be a music artist, and I kind of laid that to rest to focus really heavy on politics. We could definitely talk tonight a little bit about my platform, what I stand for. Why I decided to jump into this crazy world of politics. You know, give
right.
The viewers and listeners a chance to really understand who I am and why I should get their vote, man, in August.
Right. So let's start out first a little bit about you. Where were you born and raised and all that fun stuff?
Well, in a nutshell, man, I was a military brat. My dad was in the Air Force. I was born on Ellsworth Air Force Base in South Dakota. I've kind of bounced around a lot, man. I've lived everywhere from Mississippi to New Jersey to California, and I've been in Florida now just over 24 years. I'm the youngest the youngest candidate right now on the ticket. And you know, we're pretty proud that we officially qualified. It means a lot, man. There's a lot. Like I said, we'll get into it with the interview, man. It means more than you know, just getting on the ballot, man. We officially have we've made a mark, and you know, it's more than a campaign for us. It's a movement. So.
Right, and you have some conservative values, I'm sure, being raised in a military family, because I know most of my military friends have conservative values, so that's cool. I can we'll get into all that later. So where'd you go to school?
Well, I went to school here. I went to Fox Chapel Middle School. Then I went to Central High School. I've been, like I said, really proactive with the community here in Hernando County since a young age. Like I said, I did music really, really early on. We promoted it really heavy, obviously, through the county, and then we took it statewide, and then eventually we took it all across the country. I mean, we've branded ourselves pretty well. You know, a lot of people in this county know me. A lot of people in this county grew up with me. So, you know, like I said, this thing is a huge movement for us, man. We have a lot of good things in store, man, a lot of good things we plan to bring to the county.
All right. So, folks, if you're from our county here in Florida, here's a gentleman who's been through our school system, and now he's here, a longtime resident, 24 years in Florida, and he's making a push for Hernando County Commissioner District number 4.
Correct.
What was the reason why you decided to run for Hernando County Commission?
Well, to be honest with you, I had a buddy of mine named Anthony Forrest, who's actually my treasurer. He's been asking me to run for some form of office for almost a decade. He wanted me to kind of use my voice and my popularity that comes with it, and try and, you know, put it to use. And he woke me up back in December of 21 and told me that there was an election going on in 2022 and that the runner in District 4 didn't have competition. And I said, well, I happen to live in District 4 and I happen to think I'd be a good competition for him. So let's cross the T's and dot the I's. Let's find out what we need to do to get, you know, into this race. And we sat down, we came up with a game plan and a couple good strategic moves, and next thing you know, we officially got into the race. We spent the last couple months, man, on this campaign trail, meeting a lot of beautiful people. You know, I don't want to act like I've been a diehard Republican conservative my whole life. That would be, you know, that's a farce. I haven't been. I got woke up to the Republican Party and to the conservative movement back when Donald Trump announced he was running for presidency.
Right. Many people
Donald
did.
Trump. Mm-hmm. So Donald Trump is, I said this the other night at the Republican Forum, a lot of people that were there are probably tuning in right now. We had a good response on the Facebook from it. But, you know, I said there the other day, you know, a lot of people have, you know, heroes or idols or people they look up to, and, you know, not all heroes wear capes, and Donald Trump is my hero. He gave me the courage. He gave me the courage to want to stand up and do something. You know, I've been to over 32 Donald Trump events. I was at the Capitol January 6th to fight for our country's freedom and stand up for the country.
Right.
I mean, it's now encrypted in me, man. There's nothing more in my life I want than to stand tall and be the voice of the Republican conservative movement, man. I'm the youngest one. Like I said at the forum the other night, I don't understand why the county would want the youngest candidate who's a diehard right side conservative, who's
right,
all about freedom and opportunities, to not run the ticket for Hernando County to educate the youth here and wake them up and show them that the Republican Party is the best party.
Right. I happen to agree that that's a great idea. There's a lot
it
of
is,
issues
you know.
In the county. There's a lot of issues in the county for me that are arising currently, and I'm going to ask each of the commissioners that I talk to a couple of these next questions. Like, right now, from what I understand, 11,000 homes are already approved in Hernando County. 11,000. So that would mean if every house has four people, that's 44,000 people. If every house has two cars, that's 22,000 cars. And if every house has two kids, that's another 22,000 kids. What do we do with the roads and the schools? It's like we know we have this issue with the school board is suing the commissioners over the tax.
Yeah, over the half-cent tax.
Right.
I mean, the other day, man, at the forum, they asked that same question, and, you know, I proudly voiced my opinion. I feel like Hernando County kind of has to hold development. We haven't even fixed home yet. You know, everybody, you know, is so concerned with, you know, major businesses moving in and, you know, more houses and more opportunities. And I explained to people on the forum the other night that people don't realize that, you know, yeah, that's great. More businesses, more homes, more opportunity. But with more homes, more opportunities and more businesses is going to cost, you know, a boatload of money for the general public here. People don't realize that if we have all these people, this crazy influx of people, you know, everything's going to go up just like it is already under this crazy Biden America we have, you know. And, you know, I was telling people that, you know, okay, cool, Wawa wants to come in. Dollar General's coming in on every corner. Storage units are coming in on every corner. Dollar Tree. I said, but what people don't realize is this. A worker that works there is going to make $10 to $12 an hour in Hernando County.
It's low-wage work.
An average home in Hernando County for a two-bedroom, one-bathroom is about $1,600 to $1,700 a month. That worker is literally going to work all month just to pay rent, not to cover the light bill, not to cover the car payment, phone bill, you know, electric, nothing. It's literally they're going to be working to just live in a home with no power. So I said the fact that I'm looking into the crowd and you people are cool with development and growth is just baffling to me because I believe that if a major corporation wants to come to Hernando County, they shouldn't have the same grace, the same impact as a private business owner. You know, as an independent business owner, I believe that if a major business or a corporation wants to move to this county, they should be responsible to pay a higher impact fee because you're destroying this great place that we call home to want to be here.
You know?
And a lot of people gave me flack, but I said, look, it's a deterrent. You know, I'm happy Pasco County wants to grow. That's good, but this is my home, not Pasco County. You know?
Have you seen the Weekiwachee River lately? Add to that 44,000 more people that want to go there. Buccaneer Bay, on a rainy day last week, I drove past Buccaneer Bay at 9 a.m. and there was a huge line. Think of that. And that's it. People, you know, it's going to be like you got to get up at 6 a.m. to go to Weekiwachee, to go to Buccaneer Bay.
You
want to go to Pine Island, you got to get up at 4:30 a.m., pack the car, and go be the first person at the gate or you'll never get in.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing.
And that's already.
I said that the other day. I said, look, I said, this place has been my home for over two decades. I love this town. When I moved here, half this stuff wasn't even here. You know what I mean? And we were still having problems fixing this place that we call home. I said, look, I'm not for, you know, the continuous destruction of our land. I believe that we are already
to capacity.
Look, I'm going to give you an example. I said, I believe we're already to capacity. As a matter of fact, the street I live on, there's a beautiful lot at the end of my street. It's a little over 20 acres. They just demoed it. And I asked the guy, I said, what are you putting here? Oh, we're putting lower income housing apartments. I said, wait, what? This street is secluded. It's off the grid. And now you're leveling all this property and I'm putting apartments here? This is insane. I said, what is going on? And, of course, you know, I bring it up, and these are already in the proposals for the bills and this and that. And I'm like, dude, this is insane. I don't understand how anybody in their right mind can be fooled with the distinction of your run. Hey, we're seeing coyotes running through here now at a rapid rate. Turtles are getting their runs destroyed. You know, the wildlife is going to be little to none by the time we're done with the destruction of Hernando County.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was letting people know, look, I'm not against people wanting to come here. You want to come here? Great. You know what I mean? If you're a private person, you want to come buy a house? Great. But what I am not for is the fact that you think this is Tampa Bay. This is not Tampa Bay. This is Hernando
right.
County.
Yeah.
We can't survive all this influx of people that are trying to come here. It's not going to work. You know, and some people, it's a double-edged sword.
It's really crowded right now. It's really bad. You know, I believe we're at the capacity. And the infrastructure now is suffering. And I noticed another thing that I noticed, and before it wasn't like that, even 5 years ago, the streets have trash everywhere.
Before there was never trash. For that too. That's going to be awesome. So.
Yeah, I think we need to get the prisoners, the nonviolent shoplifting probation violators out there picking up the trash again.
Yeah, we have you know, so many ideas, man, that we passed around with me and my team, and you know, it's but people don't realize, man, there's more problems than just development that people they're not realizing, man, and it breaks my heart, it hurts, you know. But you know, when I listen to these forums, and I said it the other day, I said maybe it's because I'm young and I'm hip and I'm into what's going on, you know. But we're talking about the development. You know, schools, we're talking about this and that. I said, but you guys aren't talking about fixing the county. What about the drug problem running through this county? What about the gangs and the shootings and the violence that is taking place here, you know? Nobody's talking about that, and that's why I've been a very big advocate against gang violence and drugs in our county. And maybe because I'm younger, you know, I hear about it more. I see it more. I'm more in tune with it, you know? And, you know, I would like to. I'm one of the only candidates that's on the ticket today that has went to school board meetings and talked to the school board as well about these fight clubs that are going on in schools now. Now there's schools that have actual social media sites where they're beating the crap out of each other. And I thought it was crazy that here I am as a commissioner candidate going to the school board, and I'm letting them know, yo, I am pissed. I have 4 children out of my 5 that are in the school system, and I'll be damned if my child gets put on social media getting her head or his head kicked in because of the lack of responsibility from the school board today. It's not going to happen.
I'm telling you.
You know?
And the thing that I can't stand is there's a young lady in our school district, and her son was sitting at a table. His back was turned, and some student went up behind him and slugged him in the head like 6 or 8 times upside the head. And the kid who got slugged also got suspended. And it's clear in the video that he was attacked physically and that charges probably should have been charged against the student. I don't know why they weren't. If that was my son and someone did that to my son, I would press charges. I'm just saying.
Well, the thing is, I know who you're talking about. I know her personally because she actually sat in with me at the meeting.
She's a great patriot.
Oh, she's also a really huge fan and supporter of my great friend, Pam Everett, who's running for school board.
Yes.
And, you know, she was there at the meeting.
We'll have Sam on here soon.
Oh, I love Pam Everett. Listen, she's more than likely listening. She told me she would be. That's Mama. I call her Mama Dukes. You know, I tell her I love her every time we talk and we meet each other. She's taken me under her wing as well, and I've done the same for her. I believe she will be a strong hit for our schools. I believe she has a no tolerance for any of the nonsense that's going on. She has my support 150,000%. No, but to touch back on that, you know, when I sat in that school board meeting, I wish Pam was on here with us so she could tell you, they actually called me back up to the podium to speak again after I spoke, which they don't do. And, you know, they wanted to get more insight about me. And, you know, I gave them what they needed. You know, I told them, look, not only am I a candidate, not only am I this guy that, you know, was around and involved with the gang life and the drug scene and all that, and I've changed my life. I said, but I also had and hosted one of the biggest anti-bully movements in the state. So this right here is a touchy subject for me, you know, and it hurts that I'm even here, you know, taking time away from the campaign trail to talk to a school board.
Right.
About fight videos that have been posted for months. Principals ain't taking it down. SROs ain't doing nothing about it. There should have been arrests made. If a person is being assaulted, there's no difference than if I was right there punching you in the face. I'm going to jail for battery or assault. These kids
especially
are assaulting people. And they're,
especially when you're like 15 years old, too. By then, you know right from wrong. You know that going up behind somebody and punching them in the head is an attack.
Listen, at 15, 16 years old, 14 years old, 13 years old, 12 years old, you know right from wrong, period. And
yeah.
The fact that we're literally tapping these kids on the hand and saying, ISS, OSS. OSS nowadays is a vacation compared to the OSS when I was growing up. We didn't have smartphones, TikToks, and Facebook and
right.
all that, and Xbox.
Right.
You know, nowadays, OSS to these children is just a vacation. You know, so I agree that we need to have more of a punishment in place for these children. They need to go to jail. They need to also be ordered to community service. And that's one way you're going to help resolve issues. When people see people getting punished for their actions, it's time to put a dent in what's going on. Like when I talk to the sheriff's office, you know, and they inform me that almost 70% of calls are coming as unrelated. You know, I told them, I said, look, if I get in there and I get on this ticket, I'm not saying I can fix 70%, but I guarantee you I can put a dent in what's going on in today. The reason I say that is because I know what's going on. I know where to find the problem. I know how to come up with solutions to fix it, you know, but all you need to do is you got to let me win.
Right.
Gotta,
now, if someone wanted to volunteer or chip in, help out, chip in a dollar, whatever the case may be, how can they connect with you and your campaign?
Well, they just go to VoteAnthonyArenz.com. We have a full-blown website up there, and it's got a link right there for donations. It goes right to the campaign account. I mean, that's a big thing for us right now, obviously, on the former side. So, obviously, every dollar counts at this point. I am one of the only candidates right now that's at the lowest stand in the game as far as finances go. But, you know, I did get into this race late. But, you know, we're not done yet. You know, we still got a lot of big people right now that are stepping forward and offering to help us out. You know, but it's more than that. You know, like I told them at the forum the other night, you know, they asked me what makes me qualified to be the commissioner. And my exact response to them was, what made me qualified to be a father? I had to learn how to be a father.
Right.
And I'm proud to say I'm a damn good father. So to do this, I'm going to have to learn. But I can promise you, by the time my time is done here, I'm going to be a damn good commissioner and probably the best that's ever left this county, because I have something that most people are losing nowadays, and that's a horse. You know?
Amen.
Most people are forgetting that now, and they put their – not saying, you know, I'm not taking a jab at my competitors, I guess, you know, on the other districts. I'm just saying, you know, I'm not a politician. I'm a regular person. You know,
right.
My financial report is out just like theirs. You know, I have the lowest net worth out of all the candidates. You know what that means? That I'm a regular person. I live a regular
right.
life. I work a regular job. I'm not doing this for the money. You know, if they think it's about the money, they can keep the money. I'm doing this to prove a point that I can step into the ring, I can box, and I can fix what's going on here. But they got to give me the opportunity, you know. Another good thing that is kind of in our favor right now is we kind of have an open election for our district, which means that we can get votes from all sides of the spectrum. District 2 kind of has a closed election, only Republican votes. So, you know, it's either going to benefit me or hurt me in the long run, but we're not thinking negative. We're moving forward in a positive manner. You know, like I said, we do our speeches and our spiels with the youth and, you know, the young voters, you know, the 18 to 40-year-olds, and you know, we're just trying
right.
to educate the man on the Republican Party, man, and give him some insight, you know.
Good. Well, I appreciate your time tonight and coming on and, you know, making a pitch for District 4 County Commissioner. We wish you luck in your campaign, and may God be with you and all your
Do you care if I say a couple more
family.
Things before I head off?
No, go ahead. I got another guest waiting, but go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, man, I want to thank you again for allowing me the opportunity to speak tonight. You know, and to anybody that's listening, man, that is confused or conflicted on who to vote for when it comes time for the primary election on August 23rd, all I can say is, you know, go with your heart. Go with the right choice in your heart. Don't go with the brainwash, or don't go with it because they have bigger bank accounts or things of that nature that that makes him a better choice or a better pick. You know, reach out to me at any time, whether it's on Facebook or whether it's through the website. You can ask me questions. I'll be more than happy to talk about my platforms and things like that. We really didn't get to talk on a platform study, which is, I wish we could have. You know, I would just like to tell people, man, there's a goal with us, you know, and the goal is we're going to do what we can to make the county strong. We're going to do what we can to make it safe. We're going to do what we can to ultimately make it rich. And bottom line, if I win August 23rd, I'll make Hernando County great. I can promise the people that.
All right, Anthony, I appreciate your time. Excellent. And if you want to stick around and listen to the show, you're more than welcome to. Actually, in the green room is probably the best place to listen to the show anyway, besides on the air, of course, because it's clear and you get everything. I'm not sure who our next guest is, but we're going to screen the call. I'm going to put you back on hold. If you want to stick around, you can stick around. It's up to you. I thank you again. And if you get elected, we'll congratulate you. Maybe come on the show again. And if you don't get elected, we'll sulk together and you come on the show again.
I look forward to it, man. Much love, brother, man. God bless, and God bless your viewers and listeners, man. Thank you.
You too. Peace out, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Yep.
All right, folks. Anthony, running for District 4. If that's your guy, you did vote for that guy. Here you go.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention, right, conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media.
It won't let me pause. There it goes. Hey, who do we have on the line? I didn't screen a call, so we are shot in the dark. We have two people possibly calling this evening, Rob or Lewis. So who do we got on the line?
It's me, Lewis.
Hey, Lewis, how are you? Welcome to the show, folks. Tell folks who you are, who you represent, and we're going to rock and roll because this is a hot topic forward. Here it is, Lewis Valdez. Tell everybody where you're from and what you're doing.
My name is Lewis Valdez. I'm the Florida State Director for Gun Owners of America. We're the only no-compromise Second Amendment organization in Tallahassee and in Washington, D.C. We are fighting hard for the Second Amendment for all Americans.
Amen. Hallelujah. Because as we know right now, folks, the Second Amendment is under attack. And if you haven't dialed in to 202-224-3121 and spoken to all your representatives, what are you waiting for? Get busy. Call up to D.C. Get on to your senators and crack the whip and tell them no to red flag laws and all the other hoopla that they're trying to do here to restrict God-given rights. Rights do not come from government, folks. Rights come from being alive and being a creature of the Lord, God Almighty. So remember, your rights do not come from some suit in an office in Washington, D.C. Your rights come from the heavens. Remember that.
Ain't that the truth, brother? These are inalienable rights, rights that every individual is born with. You don't have someone in Congress, you don't have someone in the state legislature, your county commission, or your town hall granting you this, and you're born with these rights. And I just want to say, I want to give a thumbs up to your previous guest, Anthony. Anthony, if you're listening, I'm glad you're running for Hernando County, because today's local politicians are next year's sitting members of the state legislature and next decade's congressmen. Everything starts on a local level. So thank you for being involved and putting your hat in the ring. As Theodore Roosevelt said, it ain't the size of the man in the ring, it's the size of the fight in the man.
Amen. And Anthony's got some fight, folks. So like I said, if he's your man, the primaries are, I believe, August 23rd. Head on out and cast your vote for Anthony Arendt. You know, and he's also a Second Amendment advocate. And other commissioner, Steve Champion, he's the one that pushed and made Hernando County was the second Florida county to be a Second Amendment sanctuary county officially. So, folks, we're in a good county here in Hernando County. And we got Pastor Jack Martin and Laura Luma running for Congress in our area. So that's pretty good. We got some good candidates.
Hernando County is a good county. I still remember you guys doing the machine gun shootout at the Hernando County Sportsman's Club.
Yeah. Yep. I like that spot. They got some good long-range stuff, too, so you can practice your long-range stuff. I think they got 200 yards out there, so that's pretty good.
Yep. So I'll give a brief recap of what's going on today. So right now,
yes,
we have two major issues going on the federal level. One, you have Congress right now debating on making a national red flag law and a bunch of other hokey. You know, I'm trying to censor myself and not do some cursing, so. But let's just say some bovine excrement they're trying to push. But on the other issue, the Supreme Court has issued its ruling by Justice Clarence Thomas, and today is his birthday, I believe. So happy birthday, Justice.
Happy birthday, yes. Good. It's a positive ruling, folks, so get ready. This is a good one. Go ahead, Lewis. Let the folks hear the good news.
The Second Amendment applies to all Americans, both inside and outside of their homes. That's right, folks. The right to keep and bear arms has been affirmed as an individual right applying to the law-abiding citizenry. And it goes a step further. The ruling eviscerates the common argument that gun control advocates use in the courts. Intermediary and strict scrutiny is thrown out, and it is text, history, and tradition that is now being used to judge gun laws and gun control cases. Now, for folks that don't know what text, history, and tradition is, basically it means, did that exist when the country was founded as a judicial or legal theory? Nope. It doesn't fly. So I'll use a couple of quick examples. Permits to carry. Permits to carry didn't exist when the Constitution was written and drafted. Gun control, for the most part, didn't exist when the Constitution was written and drafted. Your average American, when the Constitution was written and drafted
affirmed, yes.
I'm so happy that my brain is running faster than my mouth. I'm trying to say when the Constitution was ratification. That's what I was trying to say.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just so giddy with joy from this ruling.
When
the Constitution was ratified, basically, your average American could keep and bear arms that were comparable to that of the military. And Chief Justice Thomas basically said that applies today. That even though that there's been advancement in technology, the same principle applies today. And he goes a step further, that most of the gun regulations back then were racist in nature, which was the honest to God's truth. And he even brings up a couple of pre-Civil War cases where one of the cases that were brought up basically said, yeah, we can't affirm that slaves are people because if they are, then that means black people get all of their inalienable rights, the rights to vote, the rights to speak freely, including the rights to keep and bear arms and carry firearms wherever they want. Yeah, we can't have that happen. So guess what, folks? Gun control was founded on racism. Racism's bad. Justice Thomas basically said,
right,
that ain't happening anymore. And every two-bit crook and politician out there that is pushing gun control is now on the defensive. We are on the offense. Gun owners of America
Amen.
Are going to push hard on this ruling. And on the state level, we're pushing hard for constitutional carry. Governor DeSantis pledged that before he leaves office, he will make Florida a constitutional carry state. And I need your listeners to get involved. I need your listeners to go to gunowners.org and look for our state alerts, and our Florida alerts are very simple. They are challenging our legislature to pass a constitutional carry bill this coming session in 2023.
But old Wilton Simpson ain't going to go for that. These guys, right? You see what they did with your petitions. I mean, these guys are just tossing them in the garbage because they're synonymous with the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas bill, and they can't let their sweetheart bill go by the wayside. So I think they're going to fight tooth and nail to the end to keep it.
They'll try to fight tooth and nail to keep it, but we already have the incoming House Speaker, Paul Renner, on video publicly stating that he will make constitutional carry a legislative priority in the House. And we have the governor saying that he will make it happen before he leaves office, which means since Wilton Simpson is out the door as the Senate president, the incoming Senate president is Kathleen Passabello. Now, she's a little squishy. She said that she would rather it be a ballot initiative in 2024. Uh-huh. That's why I want your listeners to go to governors.org, because we have an alert coming out specifically for her saying, guess what, Senator Passabello? The Supreme Court has reaffirmed that the Second Amendment applies to the right to carry outside of the home. You're going to do your job.
Hallelujah. This is good news, folks, for Second Amendment advocates and those of us who – all right, so maybe you don't have an AR-15, but you have a beautiful hunting rifle that you like to target shoot with once in a while and take out to get a deer or a hog. Whatever the case may be, maybe you're an avid trainer and you like to do special ops tactical training in the darkness, whatever your hobby may be, this is good news for you. It's good news for me. It's good news for freedom. It's good news for liberty. And it's bad news for those who would do harm to our nation from the outside of our nation. Because as the famous quote says, the reason that we don't invade America is because there is a gun behind every blade of grass, and that's the way it should be. That's why, folks, that we have never been invaded in America, and that is why we will continue to be free and never invaded. So these characters take the guns away from you and me, you can guarantee someone's going to be stupid and try something like that. And so this is a victory for that. This is just a huge victory. The Supreme Court is now, you know, maybe opening their eyes a little bit and using history and precedents and things like that. What did you call it again? There's a word for it that you use.
Text history and tradition.
Yes, text history and tradition. Excelente. And that's promising, because on a lot of fronts, if they start doing that, there's going to be a lot of freedom coming back to the American people.
You got that right. And Mark, as you know, my personal history, you know my personal history, but for your listeners that are listening today that don't, I'm the first in my family born of Cuban immigrants. My family fled communist Cuba in 1961. My uncle Mario Grabau, he came to the U.S. in 1959. He was recruited by the CIA, and he was one of the key planners of the Bay of Pigs invasion. And I remember as a kid growing up, he told me something very simple. He said, free people are armed. Disarmed people are slaves to the state. As long as we keep our guns here in the United States, we will never happen. The United States will never befall what happened in Cuba. Because Fidel Castro, when he gained power, one of the first things he did was he went before the people in Havana and he said, Armas por guns, why? Meaning, don't worry, the state will protect you. And we've seen how that has ended and what the result was. We've seen people fleeing my family's homeland on rafts made of garbage, going through shark-infested waters, coming for freedom. We don't see that the other way around. But again, why do people come to this country? Because we are free, and we are free because we are armed. No group in the history of humanity has ever been slaves to someone else because they were armed. Only the disarmed are slaves.
Yep, absolutely, 100%. And I wish people would realize, too, when they're pushing for all these kind of gun laws and gun restrictions and all this type of stuff, the last I checked, the definition of criminal, those folks will still have guns. And the definition of law-abiding citizens, they'll be still abiding by the law because that's what they do, and that's what they, you know, because they're good people. And they will be restricted from defending themselves. And to me, that's ridiculous that people just don't realize, like, and I keep thinking, like, it's not that they don't realize. They have an ulterior motive to remove the guns. That's the only other reason, because our reasoning is sound. So to keep resisting it, to me, is just that they have an ulterior motive. It's to arm the criminals, disarm the regular people, and just trash them. I don't know. It's crazy. There's got to be another motive.
It's very simple. Criminals break the law because they're criminals. Last I checked, it's been illegal to commit murder since long before Moses descended the mountain with the tablets of the Ten Commandments.
Yep. Amen.
But people still do it because they're criminals. I was a police officer for 15 years. I could tell you this. A part of my career was being a school resource officer. Gun-free zones don't solve anything. An imaginary invisible line saying that you cannot carry a gun in this area doesn't deter criminals. It didn't stop what happened in Texas. It didn't stop what happened in Florida. It doesn't stop it anywhere. Justice Alito, in this latest ruling, in his concurrent opinion, literally ripped this apart. He says, the dissent wrote about the shooting in Buffalo, and he literally says, the Sullivan Act in New York is one of the most restrictive gun laws in the country, and it didn't prevent the mass shooting in Buffalo. Explain how gun control works. You cannot.
Right. That's good stuff. You know? And it's so weird, but for 4 years, yes, of course, during the Trump administration, that whatever happened out in Las Vegas happened out in Las Vegas. That's a whole nother story, but I don't want to get into that anymore. I mean, I covered that for weeks and weeks and weeks, and we know what happened out there, but that's a whole nother – I could talk another month about that, but we won't. But these leftists get in office, and the mass shootings seem to be like every few weeks now, someone's going nuts. You know, why do you think, because when Democrats are not, I can't think that they're all false flag operations and they're that gung-ho to take the guns away. I mean, there have to be some people that are generally crazy and they're doing wacky stuff.
It comes down to Occam's razor. You have crazy people in society. With freedom comes certain inherent risks. But you could never make a society 100% safe. And again, I'm going from my law enforcement experience here. When you have individuals that are crazy and a threat to society, we already have laws on the book to deal with them. Here in Florida, we call it the Baker Act. If an individual poses a threat to themselves or others, they have the means, the motive, and the opportunity to carry out that threat, and they refuse to voluntarily seek treatment, we could detain them and take them to the nearest mental health facility where they could be held and evaluated for up to 72 hours. Now, mind you, with Parkland, Nicholas Cruz, the shooter, had over 30 points of contact with the Broward Sheriff's Office, and at no point did they Baker Act him. At no point did they arrest him for domestic violence. At no point did they arrest him for strong-arm battery. At no point did they arrest him for aggravated assault. They did absolutely nothing. They swept him under the rug. And the idea that red flag laws would prevent a mass shooting is ludicrous because, as we've seen across the country and across the globe, I don't need a firearm to commit a violent act. One of the greatest mass murders in a school in the United States wasn't committed with a gun. It was committed with a padlock and a gallon of gasoline and a book of matches.
Yep.
Red flag laws are an absolute failure because all they do is they violate your Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights, they violate your due process, and they take your firearms away. But mind you, if an individual is truly a danger to society, they're still left in society to be a threat to that society.
But, and too, this is something that I speak on every once in a while. When I was a kid growing up, in the 70s and the 80s, we had places where severely mentally challenged people were kept. They were called insane asylum, straitjackets, lobotomies. But guess what? When we had those facilities, we had no mass shootings. Close the facilities, medicate the people, and put them out into the world. Now, if the medicine is not regulated properly, some conditions can take up to 30 days of remedicating and getting back on the swing of things so that you're not crazy. So, but before you messed up your medication, You're perfectly normal. No one can tell that you might be schizophrenic or something. And you can go in and buy a gun. And the next day you can forget your medicine and you're a schizophrenic. All of a sudden you're hearing people talking to you or whatever's going on in your mind and you have guns. I really think this is part of the problem. I think it's a huge part of the problem. And I was going to say before, maybe you have the statistics off the top of your head. In the last, say, 30 years of mass shootings, how many have been in non-gun-free zones, you know, places where guns are allowed, and how many have been in gun-free zones?
The vast majority of mass shootings have been in gun-free zones. Gun-free zones haven't stopped anything one bit. And going to mental health, we have a mental health crisis in the country. And again, I'm going from my law enforcement experience here, 15 years.
Yep.
As a society, we have publicly shunned the idea of providing resources and funding for mental health. Since the insane asylums and the mental health facilities have been shut down, these individuals have been left to wander on the streets. Most of our homeless are mentally are people suffering from mental health issues, where
yep.
they have no means to seek treatment, to seek support. There's no resources available to them. And in the end, society has basically said, you know what, screw it. Let the cops deal with it. And the only way we could deal with it is when they commit crimes, shoplifting, violent acts, drug use, you name it. That's the only time we as law enforcement, I made contact with these individuals. And it was sad because there was really no method for them to get long-term treatment. America needs to have a discussion with itself. We need to look ourselves in the mirror. And I know everyone says, I don't want my taxes to be raised. I don't want my taxes to be spent on this. And I agree. Be frivolously spending our taxes. But as a society, we do need to fund public mental health, a public mental health system. And that's not pushing
yes.
red flag laws. That's not putting people on no-fly, no-buy lists or anything like that. That means where we are publicly funding facilities where individuals could seek treatment, they could get the care they need, and more importantly, we remove the social stigma from seeking treatment. How many veterans
right.
do we have in our country that have PTSD, that they are fully functioning adults, they're fully functioning integrated
yep.
members of our community, but because of a social stigma of them seeking treatment, they're not seeking that treatment. And here's the issue. Mental health doesn't mean that an individual is deranged for the entirety of their life or that they're a threat to this society. You could
yep.
have a mental health crisis because you've had a traumatic issue in your life, whether it's from being a veteran and suffering a horrific event overseas, or simply being that your spouse suddenly passed away of a heart attack. That's a traumatic issue. You could have, for a short period of time, a crisis. You know, there are lapses of judgment, but individuals shouldn't be stigmatized for seeking treatment, and we shouldn't have our rights stripped from us for a lifetime because of that. There needs to be a complete overhaul in our mental health society system here in society.
Yes, there does. It does. I agree 100% because I think part of the problem is crazy people are out walking around, and when they're on medicine, they're not crazy, and they could buy guns, and then they could miss their medicine, and now they're crazy again, and they got guns, and that's part of the problem.
But
and
it's
of
not
course.
Even that they. But it's not even that they have firearms. If an individual is able to function in society, they should be able to defend themselves and fully exercise their civil rights. If an individual
yep.
can't function in society, then we need to have a system in place to where they could seek treatment. And that's the biggest problem. We don't have that. We don't have that system where individuals could seek treatment. Because look,
you know, and
I got friends
back
that,
in the past.
I got
Back in the past, when we had these facilities and people did go to insane asylums, the abuse that took place, now we have to make it like maybe more like a country club when they go to this place where there's no abuse. And we remove that stigma that when you go there, you're going to get a lobotomy and they're going to put you in a straitjacket, stick you in a rubber room and isolate you from the world.
We have to be responsible. Every American deserves to be treated with respect, and they deserve to have their civil rights fully protected and respected
yes.
and honored. And that means that just because an individual, and again, I have friends that have served overseas. I have friends that have been diagnosed with PTSD. They shouldn't have their rights restricted from them. You know, when they came back from their deployments, Did they seek treatment? Yeah. Did they have issues? Yeah, but guess what? They overcame those issues. They are now fully functioning members of their communities. They're contributing members of their community. But if an individual, yep, sadly, is into a situation where they can't be, we should still respect them. We shouldn't just straitjacket them and throw them in a padded room and lock them in and forget about them.
No. Right.
They're people. They should be treated with the respect and the dignity that they deserve.
Amen. So we're right here closing in on the end of the show. If people want to make a splash and stick up for their Second Amendment rights, where can people go to do that?
It's real simple. You folks, go to gunowners.org. Joining GOA is very simple. We are the only no-compromise gun rights organization in the country. So joining us, it's real simple. You go to gunowners.org/join. It's just $25 a year, folks. And I can tell you this. I'm the state director for Florida. I also handle Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. I don't fly in a private jet. I don't go around in a limousine. I drive myself across places. I wear cowboy boots, jeans, and a polo, and I fight hard for Second Amendment rights. I don't speak for gun owners. I amplify your voices, and I could only do this when you folks are loud and proud. So join GOA, because together we win. Our national motto is E Pluribus Unum. That means out of many, we're one.
Amen. Hallelujah, folks. There you have it. Gunowners.org. Head on over there. $25 a year, and you can be part. How many years has Gun Owners been an organization?
We've been up and running since 1976, my friend.
There you go, folks. Bicentennial year 1976. You can join up at gunowners.org. Lewis, I appreciate. Thank you so much for coming on. Always a great. Looking forward to maybe when some of these things pass and they realize that we are now a constitutional carry, you can come on again and we can cheer and just celebrate.
Mark, it's a pleasure for being on, and thanks for always having me on, brother. You watch your system.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God bless and take care. Ladies and gentlemen, Lewis Valdez, Gun Owners of America, Florida chapter. Also, I think he said Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico. Give a big round of applause. All right, so we got on July 7th is confirmed, running for Congress, District 13, Hernando County, Florida. Pastor Jack Martin, dear friend of mine, has a real good chance here to go up and join with Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, and other great people that are fighting hard in Congress. We really need Jack, so he definitely has my endorsement. And you heard Anthony, he had mentioned Pam Everett, school board. We definitely endorse her. And we'll have these candidates on. I want to try to maybe find their opponents and have them come on also. And the questions will be the same. I will not be trying to go after them or because they're on the other side and rag on them. I'm going to ask them, you know, simple questions. What are you going to do about the infrastructure? What are you going to do about the schools? What are you going to do about 11,000 people? You know, same kind of questions. It doesn't matter what you know, I try to keep it fair. I'm not going out to try to make people not vote for you. I just want people to hear why they should or why they shouldn't by hearing you speak. So that's the Patriot Nation Radio candidate series. It kicked off tonight with Anthony Arends, District 4, Hernando County Commissioner race. Good stuff happening there. Young, very young, youngest guy on the ticket. 24 years in the county, went to school here, a father, you know, a blue-collar, hard-working man. So if he's your guy, you want to vote for Anthony Arends. The primary is August 23rd here in the Sunshine State. Local is important. Like James Bostic, conservative perspective, heard here Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m., stated at the beginning of the show. Local. Starts here at the bottom, and it works its way up all the way to the top. So we have local guys here running for school board who love America, freedom, and, you know, the Constitution. And then we have local guys that are running for Congress that live and work and hang out right around you. And you can meet them and know them. You know, Jack Martin, a pastor, great pastor, running for District 12 in Hernando County. He'll be on July 7th. And with that, I want to say thank you, everybody, for tuning in. It's always a pleasure to be here. We've been having some rock and roll shows, been really doing some good stuff. soon I'm going to have my friend Chuck Hyman come on the show. Now, Chuck happens to live out there where these 10,000 cows just keeled over. Now, I spoke with somebody, and I put a direct quote on my Facebook page that they said, we're down here in Arizona. You can go to my Facebook page and see it. We got 113 degrees, and in the summer, it's many times it's 118 degrees, and our cows and chickens and our horses and even the wild horses that run around out here are all good. So to me, I'm just baffled by the fact that 10,000 cows can just keel over. Makes no sense. But ladies and gentlemen, be sure to tune in Wednesdays for American Allegiance with author Kevin White. That's 7 p.m. We got to make sure we shout out to that. And also, Dead Marine Walking, he is accepting donations, Patriot Nation Radio on PayPal. That's capital P, Patriot Nation, lowercase. crying out loud. We started raising a little bit of money last week for him. I'm trying to... Holy moly. Sometimes, man, my brain just does not work, and I can't recall things. And that's a scary thing, but, you know, I didn't fall off my bicycle, so I'm pretty good. You know what I mean? So, anyway, the Walking Dead Marine, I'm accepting donations. I will be doing it for 2 or 3 weeks. So far, we have, like, $60. I will be writing out a check to him in about 3 weeks for whatever we raise for the Dead Marine Walking. It's very important to me. The poor man, he served our nation. He came down with a horrifying disease of cancer, and he's now slowly passing away. And you can go to YouTube and look for Dead Marine Walking, David Hart, or David Hart, Dead Marine Walking. He tells his story there in a YouTube video. Very disheartening. So at Patriot Nation Radio, if you want to donate, I'll be mailing a check, and we'll have him come on the show when he gets the check and say, yeah, I got the check. Thank you, everybody. So be sure, if you want to, at Patriot Nation Radio at paypal.com. And with that, it's the Star Spangled Banner. This is Dave Bray, the way we love it. The Star Spangled Banner.